You are listening to the Pencil and Paper Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to Super Mega Crash Beyond. I am your host, Stephen White. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Lacey Finley.
Aw, happy Monday.
Look at that. You got a proper intro.
I did. Look at us. Like, we're starting the new... It took a little bit of warming up to get into the new season, I guess.
Sometimes maybe it's just fun to throw people off and do something completely outrageous. And they're just like, what's happening? I don't know what's going on.
Is this the same show? What's happening? Yeah.
But no, I thought I didn't think it would be a good idea. I just had nothing in the tank, so
I didn't have an intro thought up.
Yeah, before it, so, or at least nothing fitting, you know. Because even this morning, I tried a new voice for some damn reason. We've been watching Bob's Burgers quite a bit, and
nice.
I've just been kind of honing in on some of their voices that I've never really tried, but. Then for whatever reason this morning, I was just like, geez, Tina, what's going on? You know, I'm Jimmy Jr. I'm going to start dancing.
And that's pretty good.
I was just like, okay. It just felt natural, like I should just try it. You know, it was just back there in my head.
Jimmy's just speaking to you.
Yeah, for whatever reason. I don't really like the character either. He's just a weirdo.
They've all got their own. Fun personalities.
It's just, I guess I don't care for him all that much because Tina's always pining
for him.
That
whole side of the family is just kind of jerks because isn't he the Italian guy's son, the restaurant owner across the street? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I said that. I don't know if people are going to be like, why did you say that? I don't remember the character's name, but he runs an Italian restaurant. Thank you. Pesto. That was it. I was like, something so easy I should remember, but yeah.
Character
who he's a jerk, so his kid's gonna be a jerk,
Apple didn't far too far the apple didn't fall too far from the tree is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's like apple tree, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the what happened to the voice actor of Jimmy Pesto, because he recently got fired from the show and then recast.
Wait, I think I do remember something now.
Yeah, he was apparently at the January 6th insurrection.
Oh, no. So, I don't know that I remember that it was that. I knew he did. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is he in jail?
I don't know.
Was he one of the ones arrested? Well, now I kind of, okay, Jimmy Pesto. I don't know his name. So Jimmy Poplopovich?
Jimmy Poplopovich.
Poplopovich. Poplopovich. Could be ick too, but I don't know if it's.
Don't remember.
Popovich.
Okay.
I don't know. Popovich. Poplovich. Sorry, I don't know how to say it. It's fine.
Point being, he got recast.
He got recast. Damn.
He's no longer on the show.
Right. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah. He was a rioter.
Mm-hmm.
So he got replaced. All right. Jay Johnston.
He's
a new actor now. All right. Well, he was arrested and charged for his part in the Capitol insurrection or whatever we're calling it. All right. Well, so I guess fairly cast?
Yeah. You know.
I guess I shouldn't say that, right?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about Bob's Burgers. Mm-hmm. Today's episode, I'm really excited about because I wanted to talk about it since last year, but I didn't feel that we had the right opportunity. I wanted to make sure that you had seen it because it's not an easy movie to find.
It is not, and it had been literal decades since
and
I had.
I feel like this is, I think we'll work in some of the problems we've been hearing about here lately within this. Because today we're talking about a long-forgotten movie, At least I feel like it is, because we're talking about a movie that is about to be 40 come next year.
You hurt me.
I know. Come next year, it's going to be a 40-year-old movie. Perfect time for it to be released. So hopefully they can get all the issues that are happening with whatever.
So they can actually release it again?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I still am, I don't know, my mind is boggled because of it, because it's been on DVD. I think there was a brief Blu-ray release. I'm not going to swear to that. But if it had been on DVD, why can't it not go to a Blu-ray or to a 4K? Like, is that such a different medium to like VHS to DVD and so on that they can't make that happen?
I feel like it's always some sort of music rights or something that happens that kills some of these movies from getting to be released again or having to rearrange something. I don't know. Ron Howard, what's up, man? Would he know? I would hope he'd know.
I would hope so. But he's never getting sold. Publicly talked about it, or at least not that I've seen.
Well, I mean, I guess I don't know how big of a deal the movie really was.
For me, it was a big deal. Did we even say what it was?
I don't know. Maybe I was just assuming everybody already read the title. Cocoon. Yes. Yeah, I don't know if we actually said it or not. You're right. So,
well, yeah. Cocoon, all right. So
the original, not the second one.
No. The original Cocoon, even though, you know, Cocoon the Return is available to watch on Max or whatever, which is still kind of weird. But the reason I say it was important to me is because this was one of a handful of movies that my parents had and as part of our VHS collection. And since in my day, here I go with that old talk. In my day, when I was a child, we didn't have fancy schmancy streaming services with all your movies on them. We had to wait and watch them on television, edited for television with commercials.
Yeah, which meant we were missing some parts of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because whatever they would deem not important would get cut to fit the time frame. Because it's already a 2-hour movie.
Right.
I can't imagine they would put it on network TV for like 3 hours.
Depends on what it is. I remember them doing that. They would turn it into an all-night event, but it had to be worth it.
Like I've seen them break it up into 2-night events or something.
Yeah.
Like with The Stand, for instance, when it got adapted for TV. What was that, like 3 nights, 4 nights?
Four.
Yeah, so it was long.
Yeah, like 2 hours hour apiece. But no, Cocoon, like I said, I feel like it fits within a certain special place for me because it was one of the VHS tapes we had. And again, the small little VHS collection, if you can't find anything on TV, you go to your collection. And
maybe a Blockbuster.
If you're... That was always a special night kind of thing. You know, it just depends on when you... Either on the weekends. Rarely do I remember going to the video store during the week until I got older.
Yeah, okay.
You know, my parents didn't do that because it was always a Thursday night. Movies is what I would look forward to.
Well, you had to get there early because, like, if a new one dropped,
yeah,
you would run the risk of not being able to rent that movie that evening.
But,
and then you had to find something else, you know, you'd walk around.
But my mom actually knew the owner. So,
I didn't have that hookup. Not until later. I had some friends that used to work at a Family Video, and then it didn't become a problem. But, for a long time, I was just like a regular schlub. I had to walk in and get it like anyone else.
We actually, there was a time where we actually got to work for the guy. Like, my mom would work the counter on the weekend or something like that, just doing that. So she brought me along. And you talk about heaven, dude. It was just like, I have movies.
For a film geek.
Yeah. I have video games on top of that. There was a Nintendo off in the back, so I could play games. I could watch movies all day.
There you go.
You know? What else am I supposed to do?
Perfect for a
kid. Yeah.
That was your mom's version of an iPad. Here you go.
Yep. Right. Have the Nintendo. And the fact that I had my pick of any video game, that was the other thing, too. Think about that. You had to choose what you rented.
Yeah.
But now you've given me the keys to the castle, and I can play whatever game I want. And so if there was something I've been eyeballing but never been sure of, now's the time.
Now just grab it up. Yep.
It was fun. Anyway, no, Cocoon was a video or one of the VHS tapes that my parents had bought at some point. So it was always on the shelf. I remember we, for whatever reason, I guess from a collector standpoint, it doesn't make sense to me because I like my cases, my artwork. I'm even very particular when, you know, you get some of the special Shout Factory or Arrow. They do the special artwork so you can flip your case cover if you prefer one or the other. Which I'm kind of a purist when it comes to the old posters, you know. I love the old artwork.
Even though the original. Yeah.
Even though the new, I mean, some of the new stuff with the, I guess, whatever the people put into it, whoever's doing the art, they do phenomenal jobs. Don't get me wrong. And I don't want to disrespect that. But you have a place in your heart for that VHS tape or that cover that you remember seeing.
Well, and it's also like looking back on it now, knowing it wasn't just as easy as digitizing one thing over the other. You know, like back, you kind of had to be a little bit more accurate, you know, when you were filming things and doing things in less takes. And, you know, sure, the art was the same way. In 85, what were we? You might have had a paint program, but like, what's that gonna, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Sure. Not again, like you said, not to knock the ones of today, but it's definitely a much different skill set that you needed then than you need now.
And not to knock the cover art of Cocoon, but there's nothing to it. So I don't know what I felt like I was missing, but my parents, or at least my dad, whoever made this call, would take all the VHS tapes out of their case, tear up the actual boxes, and then put them in these nice pristine plastic leather bound cases.
Oh yeah, I remember those. They wouldn't even keep the box art to put on that one.
No, and that's what didn't make any sense, but it was like, all right. But what he did is he had one of those label makers and that had the little dial on top. Do you remember
that?
So he just wrote the title and stuck the sticker on the outside of the case. So that was that was our film library growing up, looking at these VHS cases that look like books with
those big brown
with a sticker on the outside letting you know the title.
That's great. We never did that. We got some plastic ones, but we were those schlubs that just left everything in the original box, and when it looked like garbage, it looked like garbage.
No, I stuck with that when I started building my library. I stuck by that. I was gonna case could be ragged, but it doesn't matter, it's mine.
Right.
You know what the movie is.
It's what it came with, man.
Yep. So, but as I said, I mean, this was something, I don't remember when we actually got it and when it started becoming a pretty common rotation at the home. I don't know about you, but anytime I look back on my childhood, between a certain, I would say 5 to 10, maybe about 13, things get jumbled. Because I would have been 5 when this movie came out, but I guarantee you that's not where my memories lie with the movie when I watched it.
Oh, I'm sure it was like late 80s, early 90s. Like, I'm sure it came on like TV.
Yeah. But
that's what we're remembering.
I do not remember the first time I watched it, but I know I watched it a lot as a kid. And as I said, it's something that I don't see anymore. I'm very disappointed that it's not available. I feel like I had a DVD copy of it at one point, but since some asshole decided to break into my house, I don't have it anymore, and I've not seen it since. Granted, I'm sure I could pay somebody on eBay for a copy, but I just don't want to do that.
You know? Yeah.
I want to wait for a proper release that's taken care of and polished and done right. Unlike,
if they ever get around to it.
Same with Dogma. I'm glad I have a copy of that from Kevin Smith. But
is that hard to find too?
Oh yeah,
I think I have a DVD of that also.
Then hang on to it because there's.
Oh yeah,
it's hard. The reason it's hard to find is Harvey Weinstein. He's being an asshole apparently.
Oh, you know. Still, imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah,
imagine a movie an that, asshole being an asshole.
Movie that has fuck all to do with him. He and just wants to hang on to it.
Yeah, because it's like, what's the, I mean, the topic isn't even, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's not like it was cinematic history by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. And even the conversation is quaint by today's standards, you know? I would think so.
That I don't know. That I don't know. They always were pretty, they were pretty sexist individuals, or, you know, or at least too horny for their own good.
Well, I was talking more about the religious aspects of
it. Oh, well, that too, I guess. Yeah. Well, I remember that pissed them off when it came out then, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, I remember the Catholics getting very mad about the thumbs up Jesus thing. Mm-hmm. That was, yeah. And then,
picket
of course,
signs.
Carlin was in it, which was, of course, the most perfect individual to cast for a movie like that. But yeah. Ah, whatever. Get over it. I still, like, you didn't have to buy it or watch the movie. Like, yeah. Come on, Jesus Christ. Why are we still, we're still doing it. People still feel like they've got to be our moral police. Like,
he's got to plague our children's minds and poison them with.
Guess who's putting that in their children's minds? You have all of the control on what your children own and look at.
But he's going to confuse them.
With what? If you're giving it to your kid, it's your fault.
You know, anything that's not Catholicism or that kind of stuff, you put other ideas in their mind and they're going to get confused.
Like, any religion that should sit down from any kind of conversation about morals is Catholic. Sorry, guys. You kind of need to sit that one out and just do your thing. And you have no high ground to stand on. anywho.
Anyway, yeah. Cocoon.
Yeah, cocoon.
If you're unfamiliar with this, and again, I feel like we have to preface this by saying it's a movie from the 80s because
it's not that. I guess I just assume everybody would know it, but I guess not. That can't be the case.
Well, even as I've started to search the name, it is now no longer the title that originally pops up. Because when you used to Google Cocoon, it would be like, you mean a bug or you mean the movie? And it was like the movie. And I'm like, oh, okay, this one. And now there's another title. I don't know if it's a movie or a TV show or something, but it was recently released and it's called Cocoon. And now that's the primary thing that seems to pop up. So we're talking about a movie that came out in the 80s with a bunch of old people.
Yeah.
And they're...
It was a bunch of old people.
Yeah.
Well, they were at a senior home.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. they discover a fountain of youth and... Mm-hmm. That's the base premise. If you want to try to sell it to somebody, that's the base premise. But what we don't realize is the Fountain of Youth is created by aliens.
Ooh.
Why did I make that sound spooky like ghosts? I don't know.
It was supposed to be at the time.
Yeah. So I guess I just want to kind of break down some basic things about it. I don't want to spoil it for too many people. Bits and pieces, you know. I mean, I don't really know what there is to spoil.
It might be hard to not spoil a 40-year-old movie.
That's true. It is a 40-year-old movie, so if we do spoil it, get over it. I really would like people to go see
it. Or stop right now and go watch it if you can, I guess.
That's the kicker. Yeah, if you can.
You might have to find it illegitimately, but I would support that in a day and age where we want to give people money for a thing and you're not letting us. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Screw you then. Preservation, man.
I still don't know what the hang up is. You know, again, I've heard licensing, music, something like that. And if you're talking about Gravity, you remember the techno 80s beat right in the middle where
they were
all dancing?
There was so much 80s about it, it hurts. And we swing it to the left and we swing it to the right.
What is that? How did that go?
This is how we dance or something. Well, it wasn't the hokey pokey.
but there was something she said.
Yeah, I don't know, something about this is how we dance or something like that. I know, and I just watched it the other day too, and you think I remember. But yeah, there was a lot about it that was like, this is a product of its time for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
I wasn't mad about that. It's nothing wholesome nowadays, honestly, about getting to watch the older movies where you're not seeing people constantly on tech.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like every movie now, everyone's got their phones. They've got something. I mean, heck, even when you go outside, everyone's living their life through a phone. Like, you can't go to a concert without seeing it through your phone, because I'm sure all of you are watching all of those videos so much later, guys. You missed it in the moment, so you could supposedly watch it later. Just saying. So it's such a stark difference.
Yeah.
You know? And I thoroughly enjoyed getting to watch a character movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, it was about these people
going
through this weird thing that just happened to them next door, you know? Because, you know, three of them are little shits that keep sneaking into a place.
But again, This feels like one of the more unique films that has come out in a long time because I cannot for the life of me think of another movie like this, because it takes some very common themes and elements. Mm-hmm. Fountain of Youth, you know, we've seen tons of cartoons and movies and things like that like to take that, but it's almost like they took that as their base idea. So let's modernize it. So how does this happen? What is it going to be? And nursing home patients find a fountain of youth created by aliens.
Yeah.
Like, that's not where I expect all those dots to land, but where they do. And for me, I just feel like it's such a unique tale. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you have... And I hate, this kills me so much, because now, granted, I know they were not actors of my time, my generation, but you take a look at your base cast of...
Around a long time. Some of these go back to like late 30s, early 40s, like actors.
So some of our audience, our younger audience, may not know who they are, but if you do, I applaud you for keeping their names.
You might know Wilford Brimley.
Everyone knows Wilford Brimley.
For the same reason. Yeah. Unfortunately, he's just been known as the diabetes guy now.
Diabetes.
But was a great actor.
Oddly, the youngest of the elder people, he was actually not as old as they were. They made him look much older, which I didn't realize until much later on. I was like,
and I wouldn't even say he looked that much older than them either, though.
No.
Like, I mean, you could tell he looked... a little younger. I mean, especially the other two. I mean, crap, if you go look at them on IMDb, at least Wilford has a colored picture. That should tell you. The rest of them is like black and white headshots, you know? So, and you might know Brian Dennehy too. He's done stuff, you know, off and on. Most of them have passed on, unfortunately. But
ironically,
they were old then, if you think about it, you know?
Ironically, the woman that played Rose outlived them all.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we'll get to that.
And Barrett Oliver, I bet, too. Sure. If you watched films in the 80s, like, I even looked him up because I was like, oh my God, Never Ending Story kid. Like, that's the first thing that pops into my mind. Like, he just kind of like quit.
But
like, 90s time. So he like, it sounded like that was it. He was done. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some people just have a really hard time transitioning from child actor into adult actor. But it just looked like he just dropped off by like 90, 91, something like that. And then just lived his life, I guess. Because even his picture is black and white. And I'm like, don't tell me he died, you know. But no, he just stopped doing acting. Back then, that's what headshots were supposed to be.
Sure.
It's like black and white, you know, so... I don't know.
Your base cast, like I said, I feel like is made up of a lot of talented actors from another generation of film, but they still were kind of kicking at this time. I got familiar with them. Don Ameche, I think he had been doing, like, he was still acting pretty regularly at the time, because I know he was in, like, Trading Places one. Popped up in Coming to America, I remember. He had that little bit part. Probably a few others that are not just popping out in my head. Homeward Bound.
Because he passed still in the 90s, though. So it wouldn't have been... Some of us might remember some of it. Unless you're the type to go back, you know? And I think he was on like an episode of Golden Girls, too, right?
Golden Girls.
You know, just kind of floated around here and there.
Harry and the Hendersons. I haven't seen that movie in forever.
I almost forgot it was a thing. Maybe we should chat about that one.
Yeah, we need to chat about that
one. I wonder
if
you can find that.
I do have a copy, so...
Okay.
I think we can fix that one.
Fix that problem.
But yeah, Don Ameche, I think he was one of those that I remember seeing because he was regularly popping up and stuff. So I was like, oh, it's that guy. But I wasn't very familiar with a lot of his older work.
Yeah.
I still don't think that I know him from anything. any movies that stand out.
I popped open his IMDb right now just to look and... Yeah. Like, his goes all, 1935.
Yeah, I don't...
Clive of India. He was a prisoner in the hole. Prisoner in the black hole, unconfirmed and uncredited.
Wow.
So maybe he wasn't in that, if it's unconfirmed. Like,
It's like okay, he whatever. May or may not have been in this thing.
Yeah, it was maybe there. But yeah, we're talking all the way from 35 to 85. That's already a 50-year career.
Yeah. And then I feel like I want to talk about these two together, not to equate them as the same thing, but I feel like there's a reason we can talk about them together, which is Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy. Because they were a real-life married couple who play a married couple in this movie, which I love. When I found that out, I was like, that's beautiful, you know? Yeah, they seem
until
like they...
Until you find out he's kind of a jerk. But
until you find out he's kind of a jerk. But oh, that also feeds into... But you know what? I actually appreciate that about the story and just the sense that none of them are innocent. You know, the, there was a guy at one point... That was kind of his thing. Like he was the what's the term I'm looking for here?
Well,
the...
he wasn't faithful. Is yeah. Unfortunately, what it boils down to, you know, he liked the ladies. He liked chasing the skirt.
And
he used to say,
it does break your heart for Jessica Tandy's character.
I almost cried again because I was like, come on, man, you guys are so adorable, lovely, and have been together forever.
Mm-hmm. But he had that, you know, the youth juice that turned it back on.
That's true. So. That was great. That whole scene when they were coming back from the pool. You guys. Mm. Anyway, let you finish your thing and then we'll start talking about story beats. But
yeah, well, with him, I was trying to think of many things that I'd seen him in. I don't, again, much like Don Ameche, I don't think I knew of his any of his work prior to this because Cocoon,
I think Batteries Not Included was the only other thing I could think of. And then I'd have to go searching through his IMDb to see if I recognize anything else. But
as far as the only thing I may have seen him in outside of anything newer, like you said, Batteries Not Included, I know he was in Brewster's Millions, which was a Richard Pryor movie where he. We've seen that movie. I think I've seen that movie about 100 times. Not that particular movie, but the concept. That's one of those that got reused where it's like, yeah, you had a relative that died and they left you a fortune, but you have to jump through hoops.
Yeah,
and
you got to do all these things to get it. Yeah, yeah.
If you jump through all those, then there you go. So, yeah, I mean, I always liked him as an actor, despite what little I saw him in, but I always thought he was great. And, of course, Jessica Tandy, I feel like I saw her in a lot more because I know she's worked a lot more. And it still boggles my mind when I see her in The Birds because she's so youthful, but I can see her.
You can see that she's in there. Yeah.
It's just, I know that might sound like a terrible thing to say, but it's true.
32. Jeez, yeah. Was she driving Miss Daisy?
Yes, she was.
She was driving Miss Daisy. Okay.
So if you hear, come on, Miss Daisy, Jessica Tandy, that's your Daisy.
That's your gal.
Mm-hmm. Who else? Brian Denny, we've talked about him. He's just...
Not in any, like, detail, but, like, I feel like he's another one that I saw acting.
He was
well,
really...
I mean, he didn't pass up until, like, here recently, though, too, right?
Yeah.
So, like, he worked.
And I felt like he was coming up in the 80s. Maybe he had a career prior to that, but I felt like he was all over because we're talking about, like, not just Cocoon. He was in First Blood, the first Rambo picture.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it does show him in the 70s. Well, 77. So
right, okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure he was, well, yeah, he was in an episode of MASH. I remember seeing that. I'm trying to remember. Oh, Tommy Boy. Christ, why couldn't I remember Tommy Boy?
Okay, you know? Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was the big, you know, getting Tommy Boy. Big, what was the character's name? Tom?
Big Tom? Just big Tom?
All right, we'll call him Big Tom.
I don't know. Yeah, I think, because wasn't he like his dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I just he's one of those that I felt like does a range of characters where he's done bad guys, he's done good guys, he's just been.
I forgot he was in Romeo and Juliet.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm looking through his thing now. See, I'll keep getting sidetracked where I'm like, oh my god, that one, the version that kids now see in school breaks my heart, kills me. Anyway, yeah. Good career.
Yeah, he's one of those actors that I felt like if. he's done so much, you know what I mean? And I feel like he does a range, a great range, good character actor. That's where I'm trying to go with that.
I think a lot of them really were that in that movie particular.
Got to talk about the Goot. Steve
Of course.
Goldberg.
I figured we were saving him for last because he is alive.
And look, I don't give a shit what anyone said. I feel like somewhere, and maybe I've gotten this mixed up in my head somewhere, but I feel like he's gotten some shit for, like, he's just the police academy guy or he's a terrible actor.
Oh, okay. I was like, what did he do? Oh,
no, I just think that people pigeonholed him into to one thing. I think he's a fantastic actor. I think he did great in this and great in any other fucking movie he's done. And I wish to go, I would love, he's one of those people I would love to talk to. Like, if we get him on the show and talk to the Goot, I would hold him up so high and just let him know how important he is.
He definitely had a different style.
He did, but
he had a different style to his acting.
He was a great leading man, though.
He was. Well, I mean, you know, I think he was like 80s hot.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think I was just watching the movie recently. Like, he was a good-looking guy in there. It wouldn't have been my cup of tea, but I could see why. I can see why some of the people were like, ooh, you know, very youthful, very fit. Them short shorts that all the guys wore in the 80s were probably like, boo, boo, you know, because my God, shorter than even I'd wear. And like, I feel like you guys got to hide a little bit more up under there than I do, but whatever.
I mean,
or you would think.
Yeah, I mean.
You need at least a couple of inches there of short, but what do I know?
Maybe they're tucking. Who knows?
I feel like you were going to have to where we were going to see ball.
Yeah.
Because they were swimming a lot. Let's just say that. They were swimming a lot in this film, all right? Everyone was in swim trunks a lot. And they were sharp.
No, I think he's the great everyman for this movie because he is supposed to be like us. You know, like when you take a look at who his character is, he is the us of this. He's the outsider. He has nothing to do with anything. He just gets roped into the whole thing. And
he just happens to be there.
What do I do?
He runs a boat. He owns a boat and he takes people on tours. Yeah. So the whole like he was running off the boat, screaming at some dude, not paying him all of his money, which, by the way, money up front, just saying, like would have prevented that whole thing. I'm not docking this boat until I have the money. So yeah, he's screaming after that guy to give him at least $5 for lunch, and that's when Brian Dennehy's character and them were like, "Hey, we want to rent your boat." And he's like, "Oh, okay,
yeah, you know? Whatever."
And here we go. This is how he got in there. They needed a boat. He had a boat.
Yeah, did not waste a moment. It was like, "Oh,
oh no,
please.
He was. Oh yeah, money. I might get to eat tonight. Yeah."
So, yeah, that's essentially how, I mean, there was a little before that, but not very much. As
I
we
feel like that's
mentioned,
the first time I saw him in the movie, was him on the boat and then screaming after that guy to give him some money back because he owed him a bunch of money.
But, I mean, as far as hitting plot beats.
Oh, yeah, no, that's Buck kind of stops there, yeah.
Yeah, we kind of.
He's the plot device, I guess, to keep things moving.
Yeah.
How's that?
I mean, I feel like there's ways maybe you could have gone about it differently, but I don't know, it works, you know.
Well, they tried to do, I think, some weird stuff in there where I'm just like, considering the context, this is a little weird, but all right, fine.
Yeah,
I guess, what do you do?
So, well, I mean, there, I don't want to just touch on every actor and just do all that.
I mean, there's so many good ones. I mean, basically all of them in it were long-standing actors with a long career well before this come along, you know. I mean, get to see Clint Howard not old is something else, too. You know, because I was almost like, is that?
Yeah.
That looks like his hair and his face shape. But I don't know that I remember. Sure enough, I was like, well, of course it had to be. I think Ron puts him in a lot of the movies, even if it's a line or two, doesn't he?
Yeah, if Ron Howard's directing $10, you're going to see Clint pop up somewhere.
Somewhere.
Even if it's, like you said, just something small in the background, he'll pop up. And but, as we said, Ron Howard, I feel like he was kind of coming to his own as a director at this point. I don't feel like he had really done a whole lot, but he was establishing
himself. Was that the transition from, like, actor to, well, wait,
I mean,
I think how old he was.
Somewhere in the late 70s, I think he was starting to make that transition. Like, he was just like, okay, I kind of want to do some directing work.
I have a face for behind the camera is basically what he said. So yeah. I have to stay there. Yeah. And I was like, all right, you know, whatever.
So he started kind of filling out some of his filmography. I feel like one of his first was a car chase movie, and I could be wrong about that. Mm. I want to double check on that first.
Well,
yeah.
He landed on this whole
Grand Theft Auto. That's what it was called.
What?
Yeah. Not based on the game.
Well, I mean, it can't be.
Yeah. No way in hell
like
can
way, it be. Way before that game was even a thought.
But it's...
that's kind of funny.
What is it about?
Okay. So why isn't he suing for that instead of what's her name for her likeness on the front of the... cover? It's like,
I don't, yeah,
you wore a red bikini once, lady. That doesn't mean it's your you know. Mm. Anyway, sorry,
but I mean, we're talking about
for tangents.
Like I said, the first movie he did, 1977, Grand Theft Auto car chase, which that was kind of a theme at the time. You had a lot of those old
Play for Pink Slips.
Yeah, what was the Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run?
Oh, sure.
You know, those type of movies where it's just all about fast car, run away from police, woo!
You're not wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot of them.
There was a lot of them.
And then, of course, he did Night Shift, which I feel like is an underrated comedy that not a lot of people talk about.
I don't know.
Michael Keaton and, Henry Winkler, which Henry Winkler, you'd think, would be the, straight-laced guy in the, or is it the other way around? No, I'm sorry.
That's interesting, because this
doesn't
had
matter.
To be after Happy Days, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, this was like, I don't know about Happy Days, because I think...
Because isn't that where they met?
Yeah, well, yeah. Happy Days had been happening. I just don't know if they were done with it by that time.
Like, it could have still been filming.
I think maybe Ron Howard was done with it, but I think Henry Winkler was... That
well,
last character.
He jumped the shark with the series.
That's right.
where the saying comes from.
But again, we're talking about a guy that who like if you take a look at his filmography, it just gets better and better and better and better. Splash, Willow, Parenthood, which again, another underrated comedy that no one ever seems to talk about anymore, which I love, with Steve Martin and a whole cast of great characters. Apollo 13. Everybody knows that one, right?
Oh, shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, that one was a big deal when it came out, too. Yeah.
The Grinch Stole Christmas. That seems to be a what do you call it?
I forgot he did that one.
Yeah.
The live action with Carrie. All right.
And then so many others still
like
working.
Still up until this day. It looks like 13 lives wrapped in 2022. Yeah, so he's still doing his thing.
But here, being his third or fourth outing... I didn't pay attention how many were before it, so excuse me for that. Doesn't matter. This movie actually was going to be directed by Bob Zemeckis, who did Back to the Future, but apparently Romancing the Stone didn't test well.
Really?
For whatever reason.
I don't remember
reason.
When that came out, but I do remember enjoying
about the same,
that movie.
About the same time.
About the same
Not
time.
Too... Yeah, not too far away from each other.
Interesting. I thought we liked those actors at that time, and it would have been a big deal.
Whatever happened, it didn't test well, and the studio was like, nah, we're gonna give this to somebody else. And I don't feel like that's fair, or at least it wasn't his fault. It's not a bad movie.
I didn't think so, but I mean, I'm not looking at it with dollar signs in my eyes. I'm just trying to see, is it a good movie or not, you know?
Plot of this movie, we'll kind of... give you a breakdown and kind of touch on some other characters because again there's a few I want to talk about, but you kind of get this sense that at some point in time, they don't really go into great detail, but some aliens are dropping something in the water, and you're seeing the little dolphins.
Oh yeah,
out
the dolphins
in the
are in love with whatever it is they are
so
there.
We kind of get this sense, and I think they even kind of describe it a little bit later. These aliens are kind of the creators of Atlantis, if you will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Antarians, I think is what
they called themselves the Antarians. Yep, yep, yep.
So they had set up an outpost on Earth. And again, this is all told in exposition later on by
Brian
Dennehy.
Yeah, like as you're watching, they'll tell the story, off and on.
So you get the sense that they set up an outpost, they had to leave, they left some some friends behind in cocoons.
Well, even he said we didn't anticipate the sinking.
Right.
So, yeah.
So they, you know, they had some of their friends left behind in these cocoons at the bottom of the ocean. So their mission as they're coming to Earth is to collect them, take them home. That's
yep,
it.
That's it.
You know, they don't want any other problems, any trouble. They're just trying to get their friends and go home.
Their friends and get. Yep.
So that's where we kind of get the, that's the understanding. But again, mm-hmm. this is not told to us at the beginning, but
no.
you get a sense that there's something out there, something alien, if you will. So as you said, that they charter the boat from Jack, who is Steve Guttenberg, and you kind of get to start learning things about them. And I'll give them credit too, because I feel like it would have been interesting had they not shown the light at the beginning of the movie. You know what I mean? Don't give the alien aspect away.
Yeah, don't talk about that just yet. Yeah.
Because if you maybe talked about the cocoons or something like that, and then you had these people who seem to be scientist types, and they're just like, yeah, we're doing research. I don't know
if I would have needed that. I think just leaving that alone, and then when it came time for them to, you know, sneaking back over, and then we just saw, you know,
yeah,
the pool, I think that would have been enough to start your mystery. Because that's like, that wasn't that far into the film, because they establish it fairly early on that these three old men like sneaking away from the nursing home or mm-hmm. old people, whatever we're calling it. There's like a house or a mansion or whatever that lives close by that's not been habitated for a long time. So it has a really nice pool. So those three guys, Art, Joe, and Ben, sneak through a fence mm-hmm. and then into the home, and they swim. And that's what they do all the time for their fun.
And look, I guess if I was in a nursing home too and I had that opportunity, I'd probably take it up.
I mean, what are you going to do? I'm an old man. Like, yeah. You know. Although I think it's hilarious that you were expecting me to believe Ben got in the same way Art and Joe did. Like, sorry to sound rude or whatever, but they were squeezing through a really tiny part of a fence. And yeah. I love that the camera cut out before it would have been his turn. I'm like, yeah, you do. I'm not saying he was a large fella, but he ain't fitting through that little tiny hole like those two tiny dudes are. Come on.
I mean, he was promoting diabetes later, so
that's true. I mean, it got worse, of course. Like,
that's true.
I feel like in this movie it's just like regular old man belly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it didn't like get out of control yet until later.
I mean, it's what they did for him to kind of make him look older is mm-hmm. really impressive for the time, because I genuinely
honestly.
I thought he was equally as old as the rest of them. Like, to learn that he was nowhere near them in age is just like, are you kidding me?
I don't think I knew that, if I'm honest.
It's
at the time, especially when I was watching it, I don't think I had.
I think they said he was 49. When,
oh wow,
yeah, so not
yeah,
a senior
a
citizen,
a lot younger, like 20 years at least.
Yeah,
all right.
And it just makes you wonder, why him? Like, why did you cast this particular man for this role?
I mean, good actor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking him at all. It's just
maybe he was hotter at that time than we're remembering too.
But this is not that this is like one of his biggest starring roles, but I was gonna say he was in The Thing. And
yeah, it looks like there was a lot in the 80s, so he was working a lot then. Yeah.
I remember he was in a TV show. I feel like it was called Our House. Do you remember that? Something about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I scrolled up and 86 to 88. Witherspoon.
Gus Witherspoon. I don't remember shit about the show, but I remember the title and I remember he was in it.
Yeah, no, that's like, I'm looking at it now and I'm like, I feel like this was just, I don't know. I heard it in passing, I guess, enough for when you say it, go, oh yeah. But I'm looking at him like, I don't think I know what this is at all.
Like, I remember it on TV and I remember something about the opening credits, but that's as far as
I mean, and of course, Liberty Medical.
Oh yeah, of course. So we also get to know Ben. That's
Ben is Wilford's. Yeah. Yes. I had to put it up and bring up their names too, or I'd forget. Right.
So Ben's family is essentially who we follow the most out of yeah. the group because he has a grandson, and his grandson's kind of like this, yeah, latchkey kid that's kind of in the community, you know, kind of hangs
typical
out with the
old 80s people. Raised child.
Yeah.
If you ask me, I was a latchkey kid, you know, I
same.
Let yourself in. I got to work.
If you don't know what that is, it's because you got a helicopter parent. I mean, I'm just going to say it, and it's pretty, what's fun, you know what the irony of it is?
Have you ever been at the house when you were 11 by yourself because you had your own key? No? Then you don't know what's going on.
Like, here's what I'm trying to do. Like, I understand the world has changed a little bit, okay?
A lot of it.
But we do what we can to protect our kids, or to do, I say kids in plural, but there's only one. Okay, she's 9. It's going on 10 this year. I'm kind of at a point where it's just like, well, you know, I don't get home before she gets off the bus. And, you know, that was a big deal. It's like, oh, well, you got to get her off the bus. I was like, yeah, but I'm right behind her. 10 minutes tops.
Mm-hmm.
She can get in the gate. She can lock the gate behind her. She can get in the house. She can lock the door behind her. It's 10 minutes. I'll be
home.
I
mean, like, I can't judge. I feel like I was left for an hour because there was an hour period of time where I got home from school and then mom got home from work like an hour later.
Hmm.
So neighbor kids dropped me off. I didn't even have to deal with a bus because it's like I went to that stupid church school, remember? So it was like other people, parents took me home. They watched me until I got inside and locked the door and then they'd leave and then I'd fuck off somewhere else until I had to be back home. Until mom got home. So yeah, I've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, so at least if you know that, she might wander off. But she's only got 10 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't ask me, right? I feel like it's fine.
But again, like you said, I was in the same boat. You know, get home. It's probably an hour before mom and dad get home, if that. So you just... Yeah. Do your homework and sit down and watch some TV or something.
Something,
like that.
Yeah. Because I mean, and she worked not even 10 minutes from the house. Like it was super close where she worked. So yeah, no.
I think
it's fine. And you know your child.
Like, yeah.
Is she responsible enough to just listen to you for that 10 minutes, go inside, lock everything, stay put until dad gets home? Then if so, I don't see the problem. I guess other people would be like, what if something happens and you can't get home in 10 minutes? Or and it's like, what?
And trust me, I've thought about that. But we're in a day and age where we all have, she has a damn tablet. She knows how to like reach out and touch someone if she wants to.
And we didn't then.
Right. It's like, we just
imagine
had to.
That. We ran around all this time without phones and lived to tell the tape.
I got stories. We'll have to do that's a, that's another episode.
We'll have to do that. Yeah.
we'll talk about that. So anyway, this kid, I always tried to figure out like what his purpose was for story because he's just there. I guess it's an emotional attachment for some of the characters because
for the kid. Yes.
Yeah. For
I think that's something to try to conflict later on.
Right, because Ben is the only one that has a grandson and a daughter. The other two, Art, he's not even married. Like, he just seemed like he was a swinging bachelor all of his life.
Oh,
like, he's just living
it up. He
found
him as a little dancing lady, but he didn't have anyone.
And then, of course.
And then Joe and Alma.
Alma. I assume that they had been married for a long time. They just, whatever had happened, maybe they had kids, maybe they're... kids have moved on or what have you, and it's just them.
Those two. Yeah.
And here they are. And it was nice that they kind of gave each character something different. So not every character. So again, I guess I can understand why Ben would have the family. So you have him have that conflict, especially when we come to the end.
Right.
And what is that going to be? Because nobody else really had that, you know.
Or at least not that they were showing us.
Right.
And I don't remember hearing it in passing in a conversation about it. So,
So the Antarians, we kind of mentioned the house and the pool. So what happens is as the three men, they have been swimming in this pool, just having fun. They come back one day and there in the pool are these big large.
Well, they
cocoon.
See the people wanting to rent the home because yeah. they are going back one day with the kid. They were going to sneak in the grandson
That's
with
right.
them or whatever.
That's right.
And then they see them like, oh, we're only going to need the house for like a month or whatever. And the pool, as long as it has that, we're good. You know, so then they came back after that. And when they come into the pool, they're like, what the what?
Yeah. But as soon as they get in, they immediately just kind of have this surge of energy and they just feel like they can take on the world. So it's just.
Yeah, we have a nice little montage of them swimming and doing belly flops and cannonballs and just all sorts of, you know, young man pool games, I guess.
And I kept looking to see as like, where are the stunt people? Because
I couldn't see it myself.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like maybe one, where Art does the flip. Because they start with him jumping, and then they cut behind him, and then you do the flip.
Maybe.
And I was like,
but even
that
the back, when he dove backwards, I was like, they kept it, unless, I don't know what the fun editing stuff would be, because, I mean, it was kind of close up on him, but it was like, it seemed like he was the one who, and you know that was Ben doing the belly flop
yeah.
and the cannonball, you know, like, I don't know, yeah. I would be too scared to do it, because I'd be like, what if I fall off this board? It's wet.
Yeah.
And they're just like running down Woo! It. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't do that now.
So, and that scene, now granted, I don't have anything to relate to as far as being old, but when you see the energy and just everything, you just like, yeah.
Even I'm looking at it going, I don't feel that good.
Yeah. And but by God, I'd be jumping in that pool if it could make me feel like that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like healing me and making me feel youthful or whatever, heck yeah, man.
And yeah. I forgot about that plot point because this shows what, like, this is why it kind of becomes important, you know, because you get the youthful energy and everybody, they just, I feel great. But what became more important, I feel like, in the grand scheme of things is the character of Joe. We find out early on that he had a cancer diagnosis and they're just kind of waiting it out. You know, it's like, ah, it'll be fine because they were having that conversation where... Clearly, he got bad news. They never really said it.
It's like, it's me you're talking to. What did the doctor say? Yeah.
What did the doctors? He's like, doctors don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And then you can put two and two together.
Right. He got a bad diagnosis of something and then just walked with his friend.
Yeah. He's seems like he's pretty much conceding that he's going to die and he just doesn't want to talk about it, which understandable.
Yeah.
But then as they start using the pool... He goes back to the doctor, and doctor's just like, I'm just flabbergasted.
This is a miracle.
Yeah. This is an absolute miracle. So that kind of triggers something in him, I think, because it's like, I'm alive. I can do whatever. I'm king of the world. But then that also becomes a plot point later on for when we have an issue with the pool. So we'll bounce around a little bit because I feel like this is a great connection to that. So they're not supposed to be there.
No.
They... Still sneak into the pool. And
well,
then,
now it makes them feel even better because they were like, when was the last time you've done anything that made you feel alive? Because now they knew they were like legit breaking in because people like were staying there. And they're like, yeah.
And if you have a problem with old people talking about sexual situations.
that's what I thought was the cutest thing. Okay. All right. I'll let you set it up. With what you're doing.
Now, probably like right after their...
The first pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they were swimming with the pods in the pool. Yeah, they're like basically walking back and like, yeah, you guys a little excited also. And they're all just kind of like bragging how they all got like boners together, I guess. You know? I'm in the mood for love. Simply because you're near me. As they're singing that all the way back home to go seduce their lady friends.
you missed the altar line.
Oh.
I'm in the mood for love simply because we've got one.
Oh, yes. and got some, they did.
And they did.
That's what I thought was so cute. And like, even the two beds in the 80s, I was like, come on. Like, when we go back and they were, like, in two different beds, it's like, are we still doing that? Like, because I don't honestly believe that was a thing. I think that was just a thing for TV, right? To keep us,
I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you think husbands and wives slept in separate beds? I mean, I'm all for it. Why not just sleep? Jesus Christ, you have more room. People are hot. You know, you probably sleep better. But, yeah, I just thought it was like, and he's opened up his little twin bed and she's like, oh, you know, and comes on over. And then the next day, of course, all the ladies are like playing cards and they're just like they are distracted. All the ladies are like fanning themselves. They're off in fantasy land. It must have been a minute. It must have been a minute. And
had
they were all
been.
Very happy with this situation.
Except for poor Ruth, which...
I know. She just had to stare at them all like, what's happening here? I was like, well, I can't help it. Your husband's a fuddy.
Yeah.
He could have gone with them. Came back just as happy.
Yeah. I want to talk about her husband for a moment. Jack Gilford is one of those character actors that I feel like I've seen in other things, but I couldn't tell you what. But he is, I don't know, his attitude, everything about him in this film, I feel like he goes through the ringer. I feel like he brings it upon himself, but he plays the character so well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because you try to understand where he's coming from. You kind of understand the nervousness where he's at. But at the same time, you're just like, come on, dude, loosen up. You know, it's just.
Yeah. Especially at that age, I guess I would have the same idea if I was like in my 80s or something. Like, F it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right around the corner for me. Let's just do some stuff, you know? And like, I don't know. I'd probably have that same attitude. Screw it.
And he's also one of those actors that probably saw in a lot of different things. I know Golden Girls. I think you'd mentioned that one with one of the others. I know he was in that. Old Night Court. Yeah. I hate to even call it Old Night Court. But...
Well, because we have to keep remaking everything. So now we have to make that delineation between older or original and remake. So yes, the original Night Court, I guess, would be. Sounds better than Old Night Court.
Yeah. Original Night Court. Original recipe.
Shouldn't have to. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, he's done a lot of television. Mm-hmm. You go through his filmography, I guarantee you there's something you've seen him in.
Arthur 2 on the Rocks.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah,
and
that's
it just
right.
popped
that's
up
right.
when I was scrolling. I was like, that's a movie I hadn't thought about or kind of forgotten existed, actually. Arthur.
Ooh. It's inferior.
That might be one we'll have to visit. The first one.
First one is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. I would love to talk about that.
I mean, I feel like they keep ruining everything with sequels. Like, even this movie, Cocoon, I feel like did not need that sequel.
It didn't. Because
and you should have just left it.
It
ended beautifully.
Yeah, and I don't want to go too deep into the sequel, but it does kind of undo the beauty of this ending, you know, because we'll get to it.
Yeah.
But we'll just leave it at that. That's what this undoes, and we'll explain it when we get to the ending. So if I miss any details, by all means, catch me, because I'm trying to remember all the beats. But
nice little beats, yeah.
As all this is going on, I do know that we kind of go back to the boat, you know, and all their research. This is about the time that, what's his name? Steve
Jack.
Gutenberg. I can't remember his character's
Jack,
name
right?
off the top of my head.
Jack Bonner. Jack. Boner.
Of course it's Jack. Every lead man
is a nice
Jack
generic
or
Jack.
Jim or something.
Yeah. Jack and Jim.
Jack does something that, you know, it was a common trope in the 80s, was it not? The peeping Tom bit.
Yeah, you know, and even then I was like, don't do it, man, even though I know he does it. But like, as I'm watching it again, I'm like, come on, don't be that guy, you know, because he was starting to fall in love with one of the, okay, what was there, like four of them? There's four of them that had approached him about needing to use the boat. And having to, you know, boat them out to a specific part of the ocean. And they were always bringing back these pods, you know, and never talked about it. So he's starting to, like, fall in love with her. And then, yes, he's working on something in the boat. And, of course, just happens to have a perfect hole straight into where her room is.
Mm-hmm.
And as she started to undress, I was like, dude, come on, like, gross. And then he stopped. And then he did it again.
Yeah, the fact that you... You acknowledge
like you
that you're being a perv.
Pathetic.
Yeah. And then you're just like, fuck it. I'll keep going.
And then this is when he realizes not all things are as they seem.
I bet you that'll be the last time he does that shit.
You know, you learn your lesson, I guess.
Yeah. So he learns that they are alien by... If you've never seen the movie, this is kind of one of the weirder parts, but it's also kind of neat, you know, because it's not what you're thinking. So, these aliens wear human skin, so they pretty much have a human suit on. And so they just take it off, and it's just a big floppy...
It just looks like a rubber suit when they throw it. It's just like a rubber suit.
So, and they glow. They're just like one big light bulb.
And their face, I guess, is kind of like E.T., but like way more... brow, I guess, like where your eyebrows would meet, comes out way further.
Mm.
Like there's a mass of something right there. But yes, they're like stupid bright.
Yeah. So obviously he spots her in her light bulb form.
He was like, I wanted some TNA and you got something else.
Yeah. And he freaked the fuck out. And of course, mm-hmm. everybody on the boat is one of her. mm-hmm. So he's trapped and he doesn't know what to do. He jumps off the boat like a moron.
Yeah. And even it says, he's like, I am way far from the shore. Yeah. I just jumped off the boat. What am I doing? What do I do? Like, you know, he has that moment of, I don't want to go back on the boat with aliens, but I can't swim to shore.
And then get scared by a dolphin.
Right. I think after I was that jumpy too, I think that would have probably made me freak also. I'd be like, you know what? I don't need a big fish now in my face. Leave me alone.
But it was at this point that they get him back on the boat. They calm him mm-hmm. down and then be like, all right, so we'll tell you the whole story. And they pretty much tell him about.
Well, I don't want to know. No, yeah. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. No, I don't want anything.
Everything's fine. You guys are doing your thing and I'm not going to tell a soul. And yeah, that was a fun scene.
Yeah. So pretty much gets cleared and he accepts it. As he,
they become friends.
Yeah. Digest it all. He's like, all right, cool.
They're going to pay me. They're not going to hurt me. All right, fine. We'll keep this going. Yeah.
And at some point, and I know there's probably a lot that happened in between here and there, but, you know, Jack, despite her being an alien, he's still digging Kitty. You know, he's
still very attracted to her skin form.
Mm-hmm. And he wants to... He wants to do something with her. And she's like, all right, but we're going to do it my way.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, all right, I don't know what that is, but all right. And then
let's see.
They undress in a pool. And mm-hmm. I didn't know what they were going to do.
I didn't either. Yeah, you know, when you first like, what's, okay.
Yeah, suddenly Kitty unleashes this.
Well, she said that was how they become intimate. Because he asked, he's like, well, how do you... show affection to each other or something along those lines, because he wanted to kiss her and she's like, yeah, we don't do that. And he's like, but what do you do then? Yeah. And she's like, we reveal our true selves to each other or something like that, or share our true selves with each other or something along those lines. Yeah, so when she gets in the pool, her energy, I guess, releases from her. I don't know, it just looks like a big shining ball bouncing all over the place, which I thought was hilarious. Like, is this the first time she's flown? Like, have you not done this before? Because it was just like ping, 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 ping all over the place, you know, until it lands in him. And then he's like, oh. And that line like, where he's like, if this is foreplay, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, yeah. He's like, as if this is this good. Holy crap.
Yeah. So it makes you wonder, like, what
happened? So curious.
Like, was it just a good feeling? And then...
An overall thing, too, not just, like, you know, general focus like most people are, like we are. Like, was it an overall? Like, yeah. I want in.
was that all of it? Like, was that the end of the lovemaking session, if you will?
Yeah, whatever they do as Antonarians or whatever they're called.
Or like you said, if this is foreplay, what did you do after that?
Yeah, what was it? They cut away at that point.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Whatever it was. Apparently it was great. So
it was good times.
Good for them.
Yeah.
But so around this time, because again, the pool was still kind of in good condition.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did have to beg to come back into the pool, right?
They did get caught. I did want to say that. Yeah, they did get caught at one point.
Which is why I first said to myself, they're not very careful species.
Yeah, no.
Because the gentlemen were swimming. They see them coming home. It was when they finally got Bernie to come with them.
That's right. That's too, right. Yeah.
You know, and so they decide to hide in the pool closet because there was not going to be enough time for them to actually like get outside without being caught. And then, yeah, so the Antonarians, they drop off their couple of new friends that they picked up that day in the pool. And then she de-skins and floats. And I'm like, you guys, if you don't want people catching you, this is already the third time in the movie that some human has just caught you. I'm like, you're not very careful.
No.
You're not a very careful species. Or you just don't understand humans even a little bit.
To be fair, they were not supposed to be there, so they thought they were alone.
Sure, but I mean, it's still a lot of window. You know, like, I don't know, man. Would you, like, glance around a little bit. Like, they're not even looking to see. Like, even in the boat, what were you thinking? You're so bright. You're so bright. Like, it's not like you can just hide, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even if, like, say Jack wasn't looking through, if I just saw this bright light all of a sudden coming through this hole, I'd go freaking look. Like, what's going on? You know?
That's true. That's true. Okay,
come
that's
on, guys. Antony Arians, let's, you gotta be more careful.
A little bit more careful, please.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they did get caught.
So they get caught.
And they were rejected. But eventually, I think it was Ben that goes back and he's like, nah, the hell with this. Because they were worried about Joe. Because his cancer was starting to return and they could notice a difference in him. So he goes back and he pretty much is like, look, just for him, you know, we won't tell anybody. We're just doing it for him.
Touch
please.
Your stuff. Yeah.
We just want the pool. And after,
three old farts who want to swim. Yeah.
That's how he put it. And they came to an understanding. You know, we won't mess with anything. You can come visit. And then you kind of did see a few scenes here and there where it was some friendly, where they were playing cards.
Yeah, your little
swimming
montage of them being friends and playing cards as, like, he's an Antonarian and the humans, you know. The ladies join in, like, their wives, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just little becoming best friends.
Best friends.
Little scene.
But in most movies, that's what happens. Things got to go awry. So their youthfulness starts to be noticed by the other people at the retirement home.
Yeah, I think when she climbed the tree, that's when dudes are like, what did you find? When did your wife start climbing trees with her grandson? You know, like, oh, yeah, no, she does that all the time.
And
once in a while, rarely, very rarely. Yeah.
And it's about that time got to back up because we forgot the other montage where they go out on the town. Okay.
Oh.
Have their big thing. That's when Joe says, oh, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. I want to go, you know, keep the night going.
Yeah, they got done bowling.
And then
they were going clubbing. I thought that was funny, too. Yeah. They kept going clubbing. And then we're supposed to believe he just, like, break dances. Like, that's when you were like, I know we're in the 80s.
Because
you see everyone, like, popping and locking and doing, like, the spinning on their back and on their head and stuff. And then Joe does this also on the floor, you know. So, yeah, they're, like, they're out there doing the kids stuff. And the old people at the nursing home were like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You came in here just as old as us. What's going on?
So, at this point, Joe decides he wants to keep the night going. He sends everybody else home, even though
that pissed me off.
Yeah. Even though his wife was just like, I'll come with you.
She wanted to go.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll go with you. I'll keep going out. And he said no. And I'm like, asshole.
Yeah. You knew what you were up to.
Yeah. Yeah. And this.
So
because
he goes.
Anyway, go ahead.
And I think she was spotted, like the waitress that he picks up. He spots her, like, we had seen.
Yeah, she was in the montage of them having a good time and, like, milkshake spilled in his lap or something.
Yeah.
And he was laughing, you know. Or
so he pretty much goes back to her, picks her up. Mm-hmm. Now, if he does anything, we don't know. But we're pretty much under the assumption that maybe, you know, he did.
Or still nothing else. You just told your wife to stay home so you could go out and hang out with somebody else.
Right. And then Alma, he comes home, or Joe comes home, and then Alma's already leaving because she knows.
Yeah.
And she even calls him out.
You could tell, like, in the car she knew.
Oh, yeah.
Right then and there when he was telling her no, when she sat in the back of the car, she's like, mm-hmm.
And then when she gets there, you know, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. She's like, no, you've done this before. You're doing it again. I'm done.
I was lying to myself that you weren't doing these things, you know, but, you know, I'm glad you're not going to die, but I have to live too, you know.
Sure.
So
she goes and stays with one of the other friends. I don't remember which one.
The dude's girlfriend. One of the dude's girlfriends.
Yeah.
She's the dance instructor at the home when they sing it too, right? She's the one that leads the little dance.
That's all I can remember, the rhythm.
Yeah, exactly. And the little dance. And her 80s tights with the little, like, singlet. You know.
That's what we call dancing. That's what we call dancing.
That was the one I was talking
Sorry.
About. Something dancing. And I was just like, I don't remember.
After all that leads to a conflict at the nursing home because Joe's kind of in a bad place. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Bernie. Oh, it's all you guys talk about. You talk about your pool. I don't want your Fountain of Youth, guys.
But Rose needs it. You know?
Yeah. And then,
which is his wife, by the way.
And that's what they're trying to do. They want Rose to go because they, yeah, like the friends, yeah, know that Rose is in a bad place, which is Bernie's wife. And they're concerned about her and they feel like it would benefit her. Sure. But Bernie's like, absolutely not. I'm not putting her in there. You crazy aliens.
He does it loud enough at breakfast that now everyone's like, ah.
Everyone had their hearing aid on.
Yeah. Well, and he was loud.
That's true. And heard. And they're like, Fountain of Youth? What? So these old people quickly somehow make their way to this pool house.
Yeah, they all storm the pool house.
And essentially what happens, or at least this is how I would take it, there's so many people in the pool, they pretty much drain the aliens.
Yeah, whatever life force was, which is like another question I had too. Like, is it replenishing? Because like, wouldn't those three been siphoning a little every time they go into the pool?
See, yeah, now I was thinking that too, because they do eventually take the cocoons back to the ocean. So they don't die.
Yeah. Except for maybe the one.
Except for, yeah, I kind of feel like the one did.
Yeah, had
for sure.
to have, unless you know how to bring them back to life or whatever. But I mean, that whole thing broke my heart.
To be fair, I don't feel like this was done. I feel like this is a combination of them draining the pool dry, plus where they picked up and were trying to crack open.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Like, so, it was like children went loose. Are you doing? You know? So when I saw them picking up the pods and like trying to break it, I'm like, why? Yeah. Why are you trying to break this thing?
So I think that was the one that they were trying to crack open. And like an egg, you know, you crack it, it's fucking done. So there was no recharging. So I think that one died, but the rest they were able to take back out to the ocean and I guess put them back into recharge mode.
So I guess all the old people stole whatever. I don't know. I don't think they ever explained what it was about the Antenarians that exude whatever this is, you know, that was causing them. I mean, they were very clear that they live forever. The Antenarians don't die. They don't understand the concept of forever. They just exist and they'll always exist, you know. So they get caught, you know, they finally come home when 30 old people are in their pool. And you can see, you know, Art, Joe, and Ben's like, get out. They're trying, but like, they're done. The crowd mentality has kicked in. They're not hearing it. It was very sad because once he finally got them out, that's when we're realizing, again, Antenarians not being very careful, you know, like all of their friends possibly just died because all those people came into the pool and took it all. I guess it was just too many humans at once. And I'm like, man, he was kind enough to let them come in, kind enough to let them stay, trusted them, you know, like, I was like, man, you guys, Antenarians, you're learning about human nature right now, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. And it was in that scene, too, where they cracked open the one cocoon to see the one inside. He kind of has a moment where it's almost like he has a human moment, if you will, because now Walter's witnessing one of his own kind dying. And that's something, as you said, they don't understand.
That's never been a thing for them.
The emotion that you see in that scene, and I'll give it credit. You know, I'd say that in some aspects, some could be like, oh, it looks dated. It doesn't look as great, but I feel like the scene plays out pretty strong.
I still do. And especially like when he reached up to the shock of like, the crying? Like he didn't even know what is this coming down my face? You know, like, why is my face watering, you know? And then when you come to find out that's the very first time he's ever experienced any kind of loss like that ever, you know, it's just like, So, I mean, if you're thinking about it from that way, I could kind of see then why they were so whatever about stuff. Like, if this makes you happy, then fine. Because, like, we're going to be fine. We don't die.
Shit. Yeah. Leave it to the humans to figure out how to brew it a thing.
Which they're good at.
Right? You know?
So, yeah, they decide that they know that the Antenarians in the cocoons are not going to be able to make it back. So they decide to take them back out into the ocean. And I feel like there was a, like they weren't 100% sure how this is going to work. And it was just like, well, this whole trip was a bust or whatever. And then it was Ben and Joe and Art saying, hey, we'll help you. And in
what
return,
if we did it tonight? Because he had to leave the next day or something. Yeah.
Right. So they kind of cut a deal because they wanted them to help get their friends back. But in return, Walter did say, hey, we got room. So if some of you want to come with
it's
us.
Like, you guys seem to want what we got. So we have spot for about 20 people all of a sudden that just opened up.
Yeah. So if you want to come with us to where we go, it's up to you. You know?
Yeah.
The offer's there. Now, before, shit, we didn't even talk about that either, because I think it was around this time or a little before that is the scene with Bernie. And if anyone remembers what I mentioned last year, I think it was on the last episode that we did where I got emotional. This was the scene I was talking about. So what happens is Bernie is with his wife and he's talking to her about this and that. Just she was even kind of, I don't know, reminiscing and pondering as she was just kind of laying in bed about things. And he was just like, ah, whatever, Rose, it doesn't matter, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then she stops responding. And then panic
sets in.
He's
like, I'll just go get your medicine.
Yeah. And then Bernie realizes that, oh, shit. And he's just Rose. Mm-hmm. You know, trying. And the next thing you know, he's carrying her to the pool house. And got her in it and just doing everything he can. And then Walter walks in and says, I'm sorry, the pool doesn't work anymore. And he's like, you gotta save her, you gotta help me. And he's like, there's nothing I can do, I'm sorry. I
just can't, yeah.
And you just watch this guy fall apart and that broke
me. Your whole life, man. Yeah. Like even right now I'm almost a little choked up because I'm like, man, you know, then that moment comes. Like, ugh.
Yeah. Because it's something, especially if you're involved with someone, like how, that's why it got me emotional because I'm sitting there thinking, how would I react in that moment? Like when that moment comes, the person that you spent so many years with, that you love so much and so dearly, and then they're just not there anymore.
Yeah. Like and, that quickly. Like all I did was leave to get medicine and turn right back around.
Right. You know? the fact that he, I feel like he's also riddled with guilt at that point because he goes to the very thing.
Twice. If you think about it, if you wouldn't have thrown such a shit fit in the cafeteria, the rest of them wouldn't have heard it. I don't know if it would have brought her back to life, to be fair. But, because she had already passed. But, like, still, you didn't want to take her and you busted the whole thing out by getting mean. Not to, like, yell at the dude that it's your fault your wife died, you know?
Right.
It's, like,
it's almost like he made these decisions not realizing what the consequences were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Never in a million years probably would have thought that.
No.
So, and now he's going to have that survivor's guilt with that because he made choices that did something that pretty
much. Which is how it was supposed to go, I guess, you know, had the Antenarians never showed up, you know.
That's true. So, I mean, it was going to happen regardless, maybe. But there were the opportunities she could have had to maybe prolong her life for just a little while longer. And it just didn't happen. And at least you sympathize with him. Because I feel like if they'd have written that character as just heartless or just mean or something like that, you'd have a hard time. Despite the situation, I still feel like you'd have a hard time sympathizing with the man. But I think he's very sympathetic because you're kind of understanding where he's at. You know,
he from was a just trying to protect her.
Yeah. Like he didn't want to be mean, but I mean, the world as it is sometimes, you're just like, no, you're not doing.
And it's an alien thing. I mean, like, I don't really understand it. I'd feel like, so what if we siphon off this youth juice and then it bites us later, something worse or whatever, once they leave, you know, because we've already seen like his cancer will come back. Right.
That's true.
Once they're gone, it's, I don't know that it would have really helped.
That's true.
Or at least they made that point in the movie. So unless they take back their own rules, it made it sound like he was getting it back.
From what I remember of the sequel, that was actually a plot point they come back on, is returning back to Earth. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it kicked the cancer back in.
Well, that's what I was wondering too with that. But yeah, I guess we're getting a little ahead of ourselves because, you know, they do offer to take them with them and they take them up on it. They take them up on the offer. They're like, you know what? I'm old. I'm done. Yeah. Let's see what this is. Let's see what it's like living as you guys forever.
And, you know, pretty much the last half of the movie is them sneaking onto this boat.
Which was hilarious.
Getting away from the police and Coast Guard and
30 old people on a boat, and the Coast Guard's like, there's something's gotta be wrong. He's stealing like 30 old people. And it's like, I think they all made that decision. Leave him alone. Like, why are you gonna bring him back? Aren't they old enough to make this choice? They wanna go boating at night? Like
what? Yeah.
I don't know. Just like leave those people alone. But yes, they came back to the nursing home and everyone was gone. And so, what's his name? Was just like, okay, something's wrong here. Yeah, Clint Howard, because the daughter was like, my son's saying my parents told my son goodbye forever or something. Yeah. You know, can you just go check on him? He's like, oh, they're just dancing. Old people love to dance or whatever. And then, like, oh, wait, why are all the beds full of just pillows? You know, that's what I mean. They're just like kids.
So I really can't think of anything just out of the ordinary or anything just worth bringing up in those last scenes. Like it's exciting enough, you know.
I thought it was just a beautiful thing.
Even the way it ends, I mean, you see, like, the Antarian ship does appear, and it pretty much just takes the entire boat up into its ship and takes off, and everybody
Without
Jack. Jack does jump off.
Jack decided to, I'm going to live it out here on Earth for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
With his bag of money. Which, by the way, he didn't jump with, but managed to be in his boat at the end. I was just like, his little lifeboat. I was like, he just jumped right off, didn't take it with him. But then when they did the little scene of him in the lifeboat or whatever, there was a bag next to him. I'm like, oh, okay. So
did he not throw it in?
I don't remember. I remember him grabbing it and then getting all excited and then kissing his lady. And then, oh, I better go because the boat's being lifted right now. So I best jump here soon. And I'm just like, what about your money? Okay. All right.
But at the very end, there's pretty much like a mass funeral happening
for
everybody that went. And David just looks up into the sky and makes a grin. And that's where they leave it.
It's a perfect way to end it.
It was.
You know? And like, the kid was just like, I know what's really going on.
Like, I haven't watched the sequel since I watched or rewatched this. And I kind of want to, just out of curiosity, because sometimes that does happen where I'm like, I haven't seen it in a while. I'll try it again. And then you are reminded of it and you're just like, oh, yeah.
I just think that was the best way to leave it. Like, that's why I was very upset that they did a sequel, because they had this beautiful ending. They made their peace with whomever was there left on Earth. They ascended into a spaceship and then took off. And I feel like that should have just been that. And then when I saw the cocoon, the return, I'm like, in my head, the first thing I'm thinking about, like, are they going to continue to age then? Or, like you said, getting his cancer back. Like, why come back?
And why come back so soon? So you're telling me
four years?
Yeah, 4 years. The cocoons are ready to go now, but it took how many years?
10,000. I remember him saying that. It was 10,000 years ago. He came back. And I'm just thinking, if the one dude that they opened the pod, he's like, but I already waited 10,000 years. What do you mean I can't come back right now? It's like, well, they survived 10,000 years before. They can survive another 10. Like, how freaking out of your head would you be stuck in a pod at the bottom of the ocean for 20,000 years?
Yeah.
Dude. I didn't see any cards, snacks, you know, like, just twiddling their thumbs. Oh, my God. I'd be so mad. Like, you old people.
I wanted to share this one little trivia bit for you, because when I read about this, I thought, that is awesome. Messed up for the guy that it happened to, but awesome nonetheless. I don't know if you remember or not, but there was a scene, and I think it was during the fight with Bernie in the cafeteria. I could be wrong, maybe misremembering, but Joe was getting all irate, and then one of the orderlies came in, and he punched the orderly. Mm-hmm. He punched that orderly. That orderly goes down. He literally knocked him out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He was, if you didn't know, Hume Cronin used to be a Golden Glove boxer.
So I did not know that.
Took that punch, like, I don't think he meant to actually hit him, but he did. He hit, and the dude went and fell out. Like,
oh my God.
That was a legit punch and knockout right there on screen.
I hope he was okay.
To my understanding, it was, but
this day and age, he'd get sued within an inch of his life.
Hell yeah.
He probably got paid well, I hope. Whatever is paid well, yeah. 85 is. I don't know. Ooh, so, no, yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't even know he was a fighter. Yeah. Oof. Didn't you rehearse how to not hit people? Like, you gotta rehearse that stuff, man.
Maybe it was just some instinct, you know, some boxing instincts. Like, I gotta punch somebody. Bah! And then,
or it could be in the moment, too much to where it's like,
that's true, shit. That's true.
Just imagine being that orderly, like, oh, my God. How was work today, honey? Well...
See this black eye? Why do you
look like that? Yeah. Some old guy just beat me up at work. Like, what? I thought you were filming a movie.
But hey, you could spin it, try to put a positive spin. It's like, I got punched by Hume Cronin.
Are you right?
Gave me this black eye.
Maybe that's what it was. It's like, oh, are you kidding me? And I lived to tell the tale.
Permanent.
This is what my kids will
hear. Permanent autograph on my face. His knuckles are right there.
You can still see the hairline fracture from where.
So, yeah, I mean, this is Cocoon. We kind of did, like, the most brief talk
brief
about...
Brief is, like, a little, but, like, did we go beat for beat for beat?
No. There's so much brief. More to the movie that you're probably not yeah. seeing that we really didn't touch on. We just hit some of the more important beats. And mm-hmm. as we've been kind of stating, this is a movie that's hard to find. We yes. keep getting lists, more and more lists. I even saw, like, a top 10 list the other day. Of movies that are hard to find. Dogma was on that list. There was another movie called PCU that I remember. They said is a very hard one. It was like a comedy with Jeremy Piven and John Favreau.
I know that one.
And
I
a few others.
Look it up.
I remember it because I think it played on HBO quite a bit when I was a teenager. And of course, you know, college movie shenanigans. And I'm a teenager. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I want shenanigans in a college because that's what I'm going to be.
PCU.
But I don't know. There's a whole slew of them out there, and I'm hoping beyond hope that Cocoon will eventually find its way into physical media, streaming media.
Something.
It is owned by Disney at this point, for God's sakes, because it was a 20th Century feature.
Oh, that's right.
So they have the means. I just don't know what the problem is. You know, I've stated this so much. I don't. Outside of music, and that's the only thing I've heard. But I, even as I watch the movie, I don't know what songs would be so hard to license.
Yeah, I'm like kind of reading this, like thumbing through this article, of course, as I'm listening to you also. So I'm not like reading it. But it looks like this guy was like, I emailed them. I emailed Disney. I emailed Steve Guttenberg. He's like, I have got to find out why this shit is this way, you know. And then it says, to Disney's credit, the last thing I heard was an update that they were still looking into it. And look, I get it. Imagine working remotely. Okay, so this was like a couple of years ago for the last couple of months and having someone come out of the blue like, hey, you know that whole studio you just bought? Like, why do they not have Cocoon on it?
Sure.
This looks like there's no... A week after it was published, someone only wants to be identified as a source of knowledge of the film has answered the question. This person has learned that the music in Cocoon is not currently cleared for new media or transnational sales, and this is likely why the movie is not available at all right now. Though this person adds there could be other reasons too, but this is at least one known hurdle. See, I told you it's probably some shit with music.
But what music?
I can't think of any music that was in there that you couldn't go to that artist and be like, could we throw you a couple grand or bill or whatever it costs to do it? And they'd be like, yeah, I haven't made anything in 40 years. I'll take that. I don't know. Like, I could be speaking out my ass.
These contracts are headaches to me because the only song, like I remember there was some old little... some little classical music, stuff like that.
Though, that.
There was that one song right there in the middle the montage, and it was that 80s the breakdancing song.
Oh yeah.
That's the only legit full song I remember in the movie.
Any other 80s song, I think, in that spot, and it would still work.
But even like, why is that? That is not. Do you know that song?
No.
Exactly. So
I think you could even throw in Big Bad Wolf from Teen Wolf, and it would work just as fine. Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. That movie's got fucking Blu-ray releases and
exactly.
Shit.
Go talk to them. See if we
come on. Movie.
Those of us that are watching it today won't be like, why was that song in there? We wouldn't know. It would just be Tom Fuller. Yeah.
Shit.
See,
I forgot
think
about
it could
that.
Work, right? I feel like the beat's similar enough. There
you go. Big Bad. Didn't they do like the?
Oh, yeah. I remember that scene in Teen Wolf. Yeah.
We're doing the wolf dance. I'm sorry. Teen Wolf. That's another one we're going to have to talk about. Okay.
Oh, God. Yeah, for sure.
But that's all I really have to say about this. I'm hoping that something will happen soon where we can actually get this on physical, because I want
people
to see this.
If you like older flicks and you can find it, I think it was just like, it was just felt like a wholesome little good time about characters and the people, you know? And that I miss that a lot, I feel, from today. Yeah. It's not a lot of heart.
If I may, I'm just going to throw this out there. The Internet Movie Database, not the Internet Movie Database, the Internet Archive, excuse me.
You might find some stuff there. Maybe.
You might find something over there that may or may not be Cocoon related.
Some people like to preserve things and throw it up there, I've heard, from time to time.
Yeah.
That might just peek. Don't know.
Yeah, might be
there.
Surprised what you find.
You
I'm
might.
Just going to throw it out there to you. But anyway, yeah, go check out Cocoon if you can. And then let's start a big petition and get this shit out there in the world, because
it's a good movie. Or I could see Disney being like, we're remaking it, so we're not saying anything right now. Could you imagine? Who would they cast? Who are our old people of today that we like? Do we have them?
Who would be the old people that would look old? I mean, goddamn.
That's true.
Some
we have
people...
a lot of work done nowadays. Like, everyone's trying to not look their age, unfortunately.
Look at Tom Cruise.
Well, the dudes don't, for the most part. I feel like the men can still get work up until their 90s, and women get cut off in their 40s unless they can start making themselves look like they're staying in their 40s. Unless you're Meryl Streep, which, I mean, fair. She's amazing. But, like, she's, like, one of the only ones that I'm, like, I still see getting parts from time to time. Unless you're, like, Tommy Lee Jones or friggin' Al Pacino. Like, they're ancient.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything to look better. So there you go. I was going to say Arnold Schwarzenegger and stuff, because they did those like expendable movies where they got like the older guys together. So
get Harrison Ford.
You know what, though?
He could be Bernie. You're not going, Rose. Get away.
I feel like I would see him as like probably Joe.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Yeah.
You know, I mean, although I think he's much bigger than any of those. It wouldn't matter.
Sure, yeah.
Because, like, Harrison's pretty tall. Or at least I think so. He looks tall.
He does. He does seem very tall.
I can't think of any. Maybe I don't watch enough newer stuff anymore to get my famous old people together.
I feel like a lot of actors are well over 60 nowadays, and you not even know it. I mean, but it adds up when you think about it. I'm like, yeah, they were kind of popular then. And yep, the math checks.
The math does check. I know. When you do the math, and it's like, oh, that hurts a little. Like, is it really? Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah. I don't know. I'll have to think about that. It would be kind of funny, though, because I could see them wanting to remake it with today's graphics or whatever. And the Antonarians will probably look, I don't know, more scary than they should.
I don't think they should. I think they ought to keep with the glowing
thingy.
And I
think it should still be Steve Guttenberg as Jack. Make a Cocoon 40 years later, and he's like, wait a minute. I've met people like you before, Antonarians.
yeah, see? And then cast a very younger version of the kitty. And that way, if they decide, well, we could do the Peep and Tom things, they're like, nah. We're making this way too damn creepy at this point. Don't.
Yeah. He's learned his lesson. Like, unless you're going to do that and make some joke like, nah, I learned my lessons about peepholes.
Nope.
I don't do peepholes anymore. But I mean, I feel like he's the only one that could come back, right? Because the rest of them are gone.
Maybe Barrett Oliver could come back.
Oh, yeah, if he still wants to act. Yeah, I wonder what, you know what, though, that did make me sad, because I always like to see what they look like now. Mm-hmm. And hard stop at picture of him looking like he did in Neverending Story, like on IMDb, that was it. And I was like, aw. Mm.
Well, I'm sure he's out there somewhere.
You wanted to go, you go. But like, I wanted to peek and see what you look like now. Did you grow up well, kid? You know, I mean, he's older than I am. I'm calling him a kid.
But still, he's a kid in your eyes because that's all you've ever seen.
That's the last vision I have of him. You're right. It's just like him as a child, yelling at. Oh, that's the only one that I remember is like the big scene. Yeah, where he's, say my name, Bastion. You know, and then he opens up the windows and it's raining. You know, and I have no idea to this day what he actually screams, because it doesn't sound like any actual words. You know. You know, and then it saves everything. And I'm like, what did you say? What's her name? What did you scream?
I feel like I remember her name, but I can't pull it from my memory banks.
I can't either. I feel like that was a running thing too, where everyone's like, what did he say there? Huh? Too much sound effects going on, and I don't know. Anyway. That's another conversation. Go watch Cocoon if you can. If you can't, I'm sorry. It's a good movie.
So, siblings, if you've seen Cocoon, if you know where to find Cocoon, go tell everybody on social media. Hopefully it won't get shut down by, you know, litigious peoples and parties and whatnot. But
it'll just pop up somewhere else, hopefully. Those are the people I feel like are doing God's work. You know, they're just trying to preserve media. Again, we would give you money for it if you'd let us.
Yeah. Get all this shit figured out, and we will pay top dollar for a physical copy of this thing. And absolutely, we'll never ask you for anything else again. We have to upgrade from the DVDs. I've recently bought a DVD of an old movie. I don't know what they were doing with the formats back then, like, but it was just...
Oh, with the square? Wasn't that the only like ratio that they had for
for
14:9 or something like that? Like something real...
Yeah. It was just weird. I didn't expect it. I should have. Yeah. But I pop in the DVD in my 4K player, and it's just a square. And I'm like,
I don't know how you fix that, because if you stretch it, it's just going to look stretched.
TV has like a...
AI fills out the rest.
You can stretch your screen to where it like fills it up, so I guess it's more full screen.
But wouldn't the people also look stretched?
Well, no. If you do it right, it can be like fill up your screen without looking stretched. But the problem is now you're degrading the quality, because you've just made all the pixels and everything bigger, because it's not pristine.
It didn't have all them pixels before.
So it'll just be SD quality.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to deal with.
It's just, that's how things were. And there's a quality to it. Sometimes I just want to watch it that way. Remastering it almost makes things look weird. Yeah. Because I could tell that's not how it was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway,
I know what you mean.
We should get out of here. Thanks, siblings.
Email us at supermancrash@gmail.com if you want to tell us something a little bit more about Cocoon, or if you know something we don't about Cocoon.
Or just
about
it.
Ooh, if you have some secret knowledge about Cocoon, email us about it. Ooh. You know, as to why it's not here. And we will read it. And if you want us to read it out and tell everybody, we will. We'll keep you anonymous if whatever.
If you prefer.
If you don't want us to know, if you're just sharing, just say, hey, this is just for your information only, or your eyes only. I'll share it with Lace, and that'll be as far as I go. Mm-hmm. Support the show over on Patreon. Leave us 5-star reviews. Keep up with the show over at pencilpaperproductions.com/supermancrash. Links are in the show notes. Join us again next week. Find your fountain of youth, and then go beyond your limits.
This has been a Pencil and Paper Podcast Network production.